We're turning, please, to Exodus 28. Exodus 28 and the verse 31. Let's read together here, Exodus 28, verse 31. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word. Now from verse 4 of this chapter, we learn that the third garment in the wardrobe of the high priest, after the breastplate and the ephod, was a robe. It is specifically called the robe of the ephod here in verse 31 because it was associated with the ephod. It was worn beneath the ephod and over the linen coat. And it was a kind of tunic that actually covered the upper part of the body, and it ended around the knees of the high priest. It was, it would seem, of one piece of material. It had a hole, as it says here, on the top of it, which allowed the garment to be fitted over the priest's head, and obviously it also would have had openings for his arms. So we come now to this robe of the ephod, as it's called here in verse 31. And immediately I just want to bring to your attention what we might call the attractiveness of this robe, because its attractiveness lay in its color. It said here that it was all of blue. If you look there at verse 31, again it says that, all of blue. You'll notice that the word of is in italics, so it reads therefore literally all blue. Now blue is actually the most prominent color in these garments of the high priest. You'll find that blue is mentioned more than any other color, along with the other main colors that were used in some of these garments. You will find that blue was used on its own in the coloring of various parts of the garments of the high priest. And here is one garment that we are told was entirely blue in color. You'll find that it is associated also with a certain metal, the gold that is mentioned. And when we look at verses where it is associated so closely with the gold, you will find that it reads in those verses, that is, the narrative reads in a certain way. Look at verse 6, and it says, they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue. And notice that the words of, again, are in italics. They're not in the original language. So it reads this way, they shall make the ephod gold, blue, and purple, and so on. And you'll notice, therefore, that the gold and the blue are brought together very, very closely, as it were. And there's a reason for this close association between the blue and the gold. And that is because in Scripture, blue is the heavenly color. And we'll see more about that a little later. Blue is the heavenly color, and gold, as we've already found in these studies, is the color of deity. So it's appropriate that the gold and the blue should be brought together in all of these verses, in the order in which is the narrative is written here. It's appropriate that the gold and the blue should be brought together because they do refer both of them to heaven and to God. The gold speaks of deity, the blue speaks of heaven, and they're brought together in this very close fashion. So in the color of this robe, the blue robe, we are looking at things that are heavenly. And therefore, there are two main truths at this point as we think about the attractiveness of this robe. That is, its attractiveness lay in its color. It was all of blue. And for one thing, there is there the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because being the heavenly color, the blue of the robe signified the lordship of Christ, our great high priest. Now, the robe itself is associated with lordship or authority. This is actually the first place in the Bible where you read the word robe, or you will find the word robe. And its usage in Scripture indicates that the robe was associated with office, and with authority, and with power, and with lordship. And therefore, in Exodus 28, it is the office of the high priest that is in view. This word robe is identified with holding office. Its usage in Scripture makes that clear. It's used here of the office of the high priest. The same word is also used of the office of the king. There are different verses where it speaks of kings wearing a robe, and it's exactly the same Hebrew word as you have here in the original text in Exodus 28. We think of 1 Samuel 24 verse 4 where you read of Saul's robe, or 1 Chronicles 15:27 where you read of David's robe. And therefore the word robe, this same word, is associated with the office of the king. Then in another verse, it is translated mantle. That is the same word. And it's translated as mantle with reference to Samuel in 1 Samuel 15 and the verse 27. And Samuel was a prophet. So the same word, this word robe, identified with the high priest here, used of the high priest here, is also used of the king, is also used of the prophet. And therefore it's a word that has to do with these three offices that keep coming up in the Word of God. No matter where you go to study Christ and look at His person, look at His work, you'll always find these offices in view. You'll always find them in focus, because these are the three offices of Christ as our mediator, the offices of the prophet and the priest and the king. And this very word, this little word robe, is used of those three offices in these different scriptures that I have brought to your attention. So it is a garment of office, this robe that's mentioned here in this 20th chapter of Exodus. Here it's the priest's office, but it is a garment of office. And in Scripture, therefore, we have the priest's robe, we have the prophet's robe, we have the king's robe. And we are reminded that the Lord does occupy all three offices in His work as the mediator between God and men. And then you see, not only does the word itself, the word robe, being associated with office, signify the lordship of Christ, so also does this word blue, this particular color that's in focus here in this chapter. It reinforces, the color reinforces the truth of the lordship of our Savior. And therefore, in His entire ministry, that's because, you see, blue is the heavenly color. As I say, we're going to get to that very shortly. But right now, just take it that it's a heavenly color. It is the color of this robe. The robe speaks of office, therefore authority or lordship. But so does the color of the robe. And therefore, everything here points to the fact that in His office as high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ indeed is the one who has no equal. He is the one who is entitled to that position, the position of the high priest. It belongs to Him as the Lord of all, as the one who comes from heaven to save his people from their sins. This office is his. It belongs to no other. And thank God, no one can remove Christ from that office that belongs to him alone. So in the attractiveness of the robe, that is the color of the robe, and then the office that's signified by the robe, we notice the attractiveness lies in the great authority, the great power, the majesty that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ in his work as our high priest, as our savior, as our mediator and our deliverer. Thank God tonight, men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ has no equal when it comes to this matter of the sinner needing a high priest. There's no one like Christ. There is no one who is on the same level. There is no one also who is entitled to that position, and that is part of the Lordship of Christ that we need to hold very dear, because the devil is always seeking to thrust into this office someone else or some other party, some other person, and have someone else become our high priest or the mediator between God and man. But the very details tell us here that Christ, who is Lord of all, is the only high priest and will never be removed from that office and that position. And therefore that's the attractiveness that we see here in the details that are before us. How attractive is the great truth to the heart of the child of God that there's only one high priest? That's a very attractive truth. That's one that thrills the soul of the Christian. That's one that encourages the soul of the Christian. There's only one between us and God, and thank God we need no one else. And the attractiveness of that is that it shows to us the sufficiency of the work that the high priest does. He's Lord of all. He's over all. Therefore, his work is unparalleled. And that is the heart of the attractiveness of the robe that we're looking at this evening. It reminds us. It draws our souls out after this thought. It reminds us that the work that the high priest has done is perfect. It is a work that needs no addition, that needs no supplement. So we notice here that the attractiveness of the robe lies within these details about the word itself, the word robe, the color of it. And then may I also show to you that we not only have the Lordship of Christ here, we have the love of Christ. That takes right into the heart of what we're showing here in this robe of blue and its attractiveness to the people of God. His love. His love for the Father and his love for his people are signified by the robe of blue. Now this is revealed in a very striking way, again by the color of the robe, the fact that it is blue. You see, in Scripture, blue is a reminder of the law of God, which came from heaven. Remember I told you that blue is the heavenly color. Now turn over with me please to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. And look with me there in that chapter at a couple of verses. Because we're seeing here that this blue robe, the very color of it, is a reminder of the law of God. And that's associated with the robe and with the work of the high priest on behalf of his people. I want you to see this, so you must follow with me carefully in these verses that we're going to look at here. In Scripture, blue is a reminder of the law of God because the law was given from heaven. So Numbers 15, verse 37, notice what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe. Listen to this language here. Listen to these words carefully. That ye may look upon it, that is on the blue riband, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, for I am the Lord your God. Now, notice the riband of blue. It was placed on the fringes of the borders of their garments. So you can see that this ribbon of blue was on the very, very perimeter of the border of their garments. It was on the fringes of the border of their garments. It was placed there to remind them of the law, of the commandments of God. It tells us that in what we've just read. Now I know this sounds strange to us, but remember this is all part of the ceremonial system. And therefore the devout Jew actually would have worn around the border of his garments this riband of blue on the fringes of those borders to remind him of the law of God and to remind him to do the law, to obey the law, to give heed to the law. This is what the Lord was doing here when he commanded Moses to bring about this, what we might call a very unusual little regulation. But you see, the law came from heaven. That is why it was a blue ribboned. Why not some other color? Why blue? Because blue is the color of heaven in Scripture. And the law came from heaven. So turn over with me to Exodus 20 for a moment and look, a little later we'll look back to Numbers 15, but turn to Exodus 20 and the verse 22. Notice what it says there about the giving of the law. Exodus 20, verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. This is with regard to the giving of the law, and specifically the Ten Commandments. And here we are told that the law came from heaven. Of course it came from heaven. It's the law of God, and we would not assume anything else, but it's good that the Bible says that. God says here, I have spoken with you from heaven. In actual fact, in their strict understanding of those words that I've just read in Exodus 20, the Lord is actually saying that when he gave the Ten Commandments, he spoke them audibly from heaven. And that's remarkable. The Ten Commandments were spoken from heaven by God. All the other laws, which of course have to do with Israel's religious life and civil behavior, all those other laws were given to Moses through the medium of Moses. But when God came down on the mount and gave the Ten Commandments, the Israelites actually heard the voice of God speaking out all Ten Commandments, all of the Ten words as it actually is in the original Hebrew. They heard the voice of God. They heard God speak from heaven. And now they're to put a ribbon of blue around their garments to remind them of the commandments of God to do them, because that law came from heaven. So never forget that. The law of God came from heaven. The blue ribbon on their garments was a reminder to them of the law, and therefore the heavenly color is used to remind Israel of the heavenly origin of the law of God, the holy and inviolable law of God, that it did come from heaven. And they were reminded that they had to obey that law. But it is out of love that obedience is given to the law of God. Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's what Paul teaches in Romans 13, verse 11. Love is the fulfilling of the law. You remember the day also when Christ was asked the question, what is the great commandment in the law? He has asked a question about the law and obedience to that law. And the Lord's answer was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. Then he said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And therefore the high priest of Israel wore a blue robe to signify that his ministry pertained to the law and to the perfect obedience given to that law out of love. Because it's only out of love for God and for our fellow men that obedience is given to the law. But my friend, the obedience to be given to the law is a perfect obedience. That's the point I want you to come to right now with me as I say to you that this garment, this blue robe, reminds us of the Lordship of Christ. And then it reminds us of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, because only Jesus Christ could give that perfect obedience to the Father and to His law. Aaron couldn't do it. He was a mere type. Aaron wears a garment, a blue robe, pointing not to his obedience or his love, but pointing a way forward to one who would come and who would fulfill the law entirely and perfectly out of love for the Father and out of love for sinners like us. We're the neighbors of Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved his neighbors as himself. He loved men. And he loved God. And he came and he gave that perfect obedience to the law of God. That law that is from heaven. That law that's signified by the blue, the ribbon of blue, by the heavenly color. And this entire robe that the high priest wears is a blue robe. And it reminds us of the great love of Jesus Christ when he came and he gave that perfect obedience to the righteous demands of the Father. He fulfilled it all. He gave a perfect obedience. And what does that mean for us? That means, my friend, there's a perfect righteousness for us. A perfect righteousness for us. The law satisfied Christ. Christ knew the law. Christ remembered the law. Christ did the law. That was the ribbon of blue, its purpose, to remind of the law, to tell the Israelite, you must do the law. And it has to be fulfilled out of love. No man could do that, whether he's an Israelite or a Gentile. He can't do it. Whether he's a high priest like Aaron or an ordinary individual like the Israelite in the lowest level of society, he can't do it. But you see, that was not the purpose of all that we have in Exodus 28. To leave Israel exasperated. To leave sinners feeling hopeless and helpless. Oh, the demand of the law is for an obedience that's perfect. We can't give it. But you see, they were being shown by that high priest, by his garments, and by this blue robe especially, that the great high priest to come would give the obedience that the law demanded and required, and would therefore provide a perfect righteousness for the likes of you and me. May I show you something here that I believe will help to bring this home? Remember that we saw in Numbers 15 that the ribbon of blue was on the fringes of the border of the garment. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Look with me there, please, at verse 20. Matthew 9, verse 20. Concerning this woman who had the issue of blood, some of you may already have thought about this. What was the part she touched? Look at it. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Why did she touch the hem of his garment? We might say, well, there's such a crowd there, that's the only part she'd get a hold of. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. There was an awful crowd there. But you see, that was the part she did touch. She could have reached to some other part. Why not another part of the garment. Why the hem of the garment? Why is the Holy Spirit recorded this little detail that that was the part that she actually touched? Well, the answer is this. She touched the part associated with the ribbon of blue. Now, I'm not saying to you, because that would be speculation on my part to some degree, that the Lord actually had it. And it was that part of his garment that reminded the Israelite of obedience. So that's the point. This woman touched that part, the hem of the garment, where the ribbon of blue was to be placed. And she touched the hem of his garment, it says, because he's the one who gave the obedience required by the law of God. And as it were, she reaches out her hand and she touches the part that reminds her of the great high priest who came where he was promised to come to do the work. Fulfill the law, satisfy the requirements of God, and bring in everlasting righteousness. She touched that part. And notice here that her action is symbolic of saving faith. You see, Christ fulfilled the law perfectly and completely, and as I said a little while ago, in doing that, he provided a perfect righteousness for sinners in the satisfaction of the law. And how does that righteousness become ours? How does the righteousness of the Lord Jesus become the possession of guilty sinners like us? Through faith. And that woman's hand is the hand of faith. It's symbolic of faith. And that's where the faith of the sinners, at where, plays that part. That God-given faith doesn't lie dormant in our souls. No, when the Lord gives us faith, what do? We reach out. And we lay hold upon the righteousness of Christ. And we take it to ourselves. Because it is through faith, the channel of faith, the instrument of faith, that righteousness is given to the sinner. But that righteousness that's given to the sinner through faith is the result or the product of the obedience of Christ to the law. So you can see the whole connection of thoughts here. As you look at this blue robe, here's the attractiveness of the robe, the blue robe. It reminds us of the Lordship of Christ. There's no one like him. He's unparalleled. He is no equal. And the work he has done is perfect. And then it reminds us of the love of Christ. And that great love is his fulfillment of the law, providing us with a perfect righteousness, which we receive by faith alone, just as that woman touched the hem of the garment. And instantly, she was made whole. Her defilement was removed. The law no longer condemned her. That's the point. Because being defiled, as she was with this issue of blood, under the law, she was condemned. She had no right to go into the temple. She could not draw near to God. She was cut off. She was debarred. And there's the position of the man or the woman without the righteousness of Christ. Cut off from God, no hope. But oh, my friend, when we go to the high priest who has fulfilled all for us in love for our souls and has provided a perfect righteousness, and we reach out the hand of faith and touch Christ, come into contact with Christ, his righteousness is ours. And we're then accepted. We're able to draw near. We're able to enter in. We're able to lay hold upon God and draw near to the throne. That's the attractiveness of the robe, this blue robe. But go back with me in the last part of our study. Let's look tonight as well at the adornment of the robe. It says here in verse 33 of Exodus 28, says this, "And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, of purple, of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about." A golden bell and a pomegranate. So, around the base of the garment, there was this adornment. It was adorned in this way with alternate pomegranates and bells. Now, what is meant by all this? Well, look at verse 35 and notice why the bells were there. It says in verse 35, "And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and a sound shall be heard when he goeth into the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not." The sound there is the sound of the bells. When Aaron would go in before the Lord and come back out again, these bells would sound. Now, the point is that the sound of the bells signified that the sacrifice had been accepted on the Day of Atonement. You see, when it talks here about Aaron going in before the Lord and the bells sounding, there only was one day in the whole year when this happened, the Day of Atonement. Because a speaker can write in before the Lord, into the holiest of all, where the ark was and the mercy seat. Once a year the high priest went in there, taking the blood that had been shed at the brazen altar. So he made the sacrifice at the brazen altar. He went from the brazen altar in the outer court right into the holy place. That is the first part, because there were two parts to the tabernacle itself. From the outer court into the holy place. They got to that point, and you can read Leviticus 16 sometime and you'll find all this there. When he got into the holy place, he then removed the holy garments. That is, the breastplate and the ephod and the robe of blue and the coat, which we've not yet looked at. And then he went into the holiest of all, still carrying the blood. And he had on at that point a linen coat, we're told in Leviticus 16. So he went in there, and this is the point I want you to think about. When he took off those robes, there was total silence. Israel are standing in the outer court, breathless. Because the high priest, if his sacrifice is not accepted, he will die. And Israel will die. So there's no sound. He goes in and he sprinkles the mercy seat seven times with the blood. And around the ark as well. Then he comes back out. Of course, the whole time he's doing that, he's surrounded by a cloud of incense. Because he also has that with him. Then he comes back out and he puts these garments back on. And he starts to move. Once he starts to move, Israel hear the bells. And they know that the sacrifice has been accepted. And they know that the atonement has been made. You know, the psalmist speaks of God's people hearing the joyful sound. And that joyful sound of which the psalmist speaks is the joyful sound of a sacrifice that has been accepted by God. That's the joyful sound of that rings in the heart and in the soul of the child of God. We have heard that because the Bible speaks of the blood that speaketh. The blood that speaketh. And the child of God hears that sound in his soul. And therefore he's heard the joyful sound of an accepted sacrifice and an offering that's complete. And he knows that one day soon the high priest is coming back out. Because all of this is a picture of Christ taking the sacrifice, as it were, going into heaven, appearing before God, and then coming back out on that last great day to his waiting Israel, and appearing the second time without sin unto salvation, it says there in Hebrews 9. This is what's in view here. And therefore, the bells, that part of the adornment of the robe, the bells do remind us of an accepted sacrifice. Then the pomegranates quickly, they speak of the fruitfulness, because pomegranates were a fruit, a very luscious fruit in Israel. And these pomegranates embroidered on the base of the garment, along with these bells that actually were literal bells and sounded, these pomegranates speak of the fruitfulness of the death of Jesus Christ. You see, they're together with the bells, and they're associated with the bells, and the bells speak of the accepted sacrifice, and the pomegranates speak of the fruit that comes out of that accepted sacrifice, the fruitfulness of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what's in view there in those pomegranates around the garment, that blue robe of the high priest. You see, men and women, the bells sound out acceptance and justification, and the pomegranates indicate that on the basis of justification there is fruitfulness then among the people of God. You see, that's God's order. No man can bring forth fruit except through his union with Christ. But the only reason why he can bring forth fruit in his union with Christ is because Christ's work is accepted. And since Christ's work is accepted, and we're accepted on the basis of that work, then the Lord goes on to produce fruit through us. It's the fruit of righteousness. You see, imputed righteousness is a legal matter, and we have dealt with these things many a time, but always remind yourself of that. Imputed righteousness is our legal standing before God. And when we have a legal standing before God, then there is a spiritual production of fruit in our lives. But only then is only a justified man who can be a sanctified man and a fruit-bearing man. And it all comes from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All from his death. All from his high priestly work. All from the fact that he who wears the blue robe of perfect obedience has satisfied God and has provided a righteousness for us, and therefore we're accepted. On that basis, the Lord works in us, brings forth fruit. The fruit of Christ's death, it's seen in his people. Are you bringing forth fruit, and more fruit, and much fruit? Oh, my friend, get to your high priest. Get to him tonight in prayer. Lay hold upon him, the blue-robed Christ. And may the Lord write his truth in our hearts for his glory and for his praise and his honor.